More than a decade ago, writer Hilary Frank was working on her third young adult novel. She didn't think there was anything out there telling the story of what really goes down in eighth grade, so she wrote something herself.
I think that what kids go through in middle school is so universal and brutal. You know, most people, when you even say middle school, they cringe, right? Because there's some level of discomfort or trauma there. So it was important to me that kids that age have something that reflects what they're going through so that it can help them to feel seen and to feel normal and maybe to start conversations about what is going on at that age.
When I think back on my own middle school experience, it wasn't pretty. And Hilary wrote a not pretty story about life as an eighth grader. This was back in 2006, long before Hilary was a parent herself and created the much-loved parenting podcast, The Longest Shortest Time. Her agent back then deemed her pitch too dark for the kids in middle school. Or maybe it just wasn't palatable for parents.
Why are we preventing kids or not trusting them to be able to read about the actual stuff going on in their lives? So it was really important to me to write about what I thought was the truth.
Hilary shelved the story until turning it into a fiction podcast published late last year called Here Lies Me. The protagonist is an eighth grade girl going through it.
In the cafeteria, there are lots of people you could yell at. All those tables full of people who think they're better than you. There's the theater kids.
The big black bear.
The big black bug.
The lip gloss girls.
This peach color? Oh my god.
The tall girls.
Not him, he's like a
You would like never be able to wear high heels.
And of course, the jocks. AKA the populars, led by their queen bee, Brielle.
Hunter! Stop snapping my bra. It's right on my sunburn.
It wasn't me. It was Owen.
Then there's the people I really want to yell at. The Olivias.
Taking a close look at what goes on in middle school sounds like a pretty uncomfortable exercise. Maybe even a little scary. As adults, we may have our own memories from that time to process. From friend dramas to bullying to our own harmful behaviors. And if you're a middle school parent, maybe you're having to deal with changes that feel awfully abrupt. And you have to face the idea, once again, that there is so much you can't control. From 10% Happier, this is Childproof, a show about our experience as parents raising kids. I'm Yasmin Khan. Today, we talk with Hilary Frank about making Here Lies Me and finally getting it out into the world as her own daughter started middle school. The ultimate in life imitating art. Our conversation after the break.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Welcome back. When Hilary Frank says that parts of middle school are universal and brutal, she's thinking back on her own experience, too.
That was a time that I would never want to go back to. I mean, kids are just... I think that things have changed a little bit now, but when I was in middle school, I think, like, bullying was the norm, yeah. Right? And I think that there was a lot of victim blaming on the part of adults. And the ones who weren't victim blaming were like sweeping everything under the rug, including social workers who were supposed to be helping kids. And I think that walking into school for me felt like walking into a battlefield. But I didn't know that that's not how it's supposed to be.
When she decided to take that written story she developed more than a decade ago and make it into an audio drama, she didn't change all that much. But a key theme came into focus and is now central to the series, Here Lies Me.
The characters were all there in the original concept, but there was a word I didn't have yet then, and that word is harassment. I didn't really become aware of that word. Like, I knew what the word was, but I couldn't put my finger on that that's what the story was about until the Me Too movement. And then I started seeing these examples of harassment, and I thought, oh my God, that is what this story is about. I mean, I think back then in 2006, I was like, it's about a boy bothering a girl. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have those words, harassment and consent.
I mean, but it's also like big issues that come up are around friendships and power and social status.
Yes.
Financial privilege. I mean, what did you want people to come away with?
I realized that we were hearing a lot of stories about harassment in the workplace, harassment in college, harassment in high school. But when I was really thinking about it, I was like, oh, harassment begins in earnest in middle school. And by the time you get to high school and college and the workplace, these patterns have already been established.
Yeah.
And when kids are in middle school, they're still young enough to be receptive to hearing what adults have to say about things. And I just thought that this project could be a conversation starter to get people to talk to middle schoolers, parents to talk to each other, teachers to talk to each other about what we can do to try to cut harassment and assault off at the pass when kids are young enough to be receptive to talk about this stuff.
The story centers on Noah, an eighth grade girl, and the harassment she gets from another boy who calls himself Little God. By the way, the voices of these teens are all played by actors from a performing arts high school in Houston. Early on in the series, Noah tries to take some control of the situation, or save face, and humiliates Little God in front of the school. She then has to explain it all to the principal.
I don't know. He's always just staring at me in class. It's hard to concentrate because I know he's looking at me. And he has this little wink that he does.
That wink is for you. It's a signature wink. I've never done it for anyone else.
So I guess I did the thing at the game because I wanted him to stop liking me. I wanted him to leave me alone.
I feel like it's a classic loss of innocence story. And
yes,
you said you wanted to write about how entering adulthood felt like a sudden death.
Yeah.
And like a goodbye to your childhood self, which I feel like just as a person, like makes me mourn my childhood. I'm in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a parent too, it's like, oh, I mean, I have younger kids, but like that's coming. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just wondering where you feel like that fits into the story.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is called Here Lies Me. Uh-huh. And so it is about a girl who does suddenly feel like her childhood is snatched out from under her and she has to cope with that loss. Mm-hmm. But saying goodbye to something also means saying hello to something else. And so in the beginning, she doesn't really know. It feels like saying goodbye to her childhood leaves her with nothing.
Yeah.
And she feels like she can't retain anything that she is mourning from the loss of her childhood. But over time, she does find that there are new things to look forward to and that there are threads from her childhood that she can bring with her.
I'm just thinking about Noah, the main character, the protagonist, and sort of what happens at school is the main point of the story. Mm-hmm. But I think about like also obviously what happens at home. I mean, we know a lot about her home life and just like, she has like no place of real felt safety.
Yeah. I think that that's not uncommon mm-hmm. for kids, especially at that age. And on top of that, her body is becoming, you know, a shape that it's never been before. Mm-hmm. And she's just lost all of her friends. And I think, you know, it's incredibly scary for her. It also gives her the opportunity to start from scratch mm-hmm. and to kind of craft her own future and really figure out what is a friend and how do I make them and how do I keep them? Because Noah is a victim in a lot of ways, but like all great protagonists, she is also responsible for screwing things up with her friends at times. And I think that was important to me in terms of having this be in middle school, because I think once we get into kind of high school and college and beyond, there's more of a clear line between perpetrator and victim. And I think in middle school, when we're talking about children, the lines are more blurred. Like, yeah, people who are perpetrators can also be victims in other places in their lives. And maybe that's why they're a perpetrator. And people who are victims might become perpetrators in order to save face. And so we see that happening with Noah and pretty much with all of the kids around her.
Who do you see as the audience for Here Lies Me?
I was imagining an audience of eighth grade and up. But I also think that kids in some ways self-select about what they're ready to read and listen to and watch. If they start watching something or reading something and they feel uncomfortable about it, that most of the time they will put it down and wait until they're ready. I wonder what some parents think, whether this is appropriate for eighth grade even though it's about what's actually going on in their lives. Because I think this stuff is really hard to talk about, yeah, especially with kids who might not be as naturally open with their parents, but it's easier to talk about a story. Uh-huh. Like, what did you think about what happened in this part of the story? Does that remind you of anything? Or just like, how do you think this character should have behaved?
For the record, Hillary is planning to use Here Lies Me as a reference point for conversations with her own daughter, Sasha, who's 12 and in sixth grade. Sasha's a drummer and scores the episodes. She also plays a smaller role in the cast, a younger sibling. But Hillary says her daughter hasn't listened past episode 3 yet. The remainder of the episodes feature more explicit talk of sex, blowjobs, bullying, and missteps by adults. Hillary worked to make sure all of these issues reflected reality. How did you learn about what it means to be in middle school today? I mean, or just like, how did you sort of inhabit that space?
Yeah, a lot of different ways. I have done a lot of reading. I also do a lot of eavesdropping. I'll admit, I'm just a terrible eavesdropper. But I don't do it really because I want to know what's going on in people's lives. I want to hear how they're talking. Uh-huh. And it's more like hearing like patterns of speech and language. And so, you know, I will at the town pool kind of swim nearby when there's like a group of middle schoolers. And I'm not like spying on intimate conversations or anything. They're shouting, okay? So I just go closer so I can hear what they're saying. And they are dropping a lot of F-bombs. And they're talking about, like, you know, the gossipy stuff that's in the show. And they are talking about who's dating who and how far they're going and whatever. And then there's, like, posturing, too. They're posturing like, yeah, they're adults, but they don't quite have the language for it, but they have to like posture with this confidence, like they know what they're talking about. And I find that so fascinating.
Besides swimming at the town pool, Hillary gathered information through the parenting podcast she created, The Longest Shortest Time. Just before the show ended in 2019, she turned to her listeners with a survey.
I asked them about their middle school experiences, and it was in preparation for this project. And so I asked them to share anecdotes with me about when they were in middle school. And then I also asked parents and educators to tell me about their observations of the middle schoolers in their lives. And that was a big way that I found out about just kind of some of the universal things that go on at that age, you know, throughout the decades. There's a scene where there's a girl sitting on top of a bathroom stall bullying Noah while she's sitting and trying to eat a sandwich alone in peace on the toilet.
You're just gonna watch me?
Who's the psycho? I'm not eating lunch while I poo.
And that was kind of based on something somebody told me about a girl who cornered her in the bathroom by kind of going Spider-Man style on the top of the bathroom stall while she was in the bathroom.
AF to say, but we voted and everyone agrees. You need to stop hanging out with us.
So it was just like when I was thinking about, I need a scene here where somebody's intimidating somebody else. And I was looking for inspiration, I would turn to my survey document.
So the survey responses provided good, concrete examples of middle school awkwardness or dark moments that Hillary knew she needed to convey in the story. She also got some completely unexpected feedback.
The thing that surprised me was the educators who told me that this was their favorite age to teach because kids at this age can be so earnest and sweet. I can say that as a parent now of a sixth grader, this has been my favorite age. I did not expect that. It's just because of like her wonder and ability to communicate kind of more on an adult level, and I feel so close to her right now.
Coming up, Hillary talks about how quickly those conversations with her daughter did change and how becoming a sort of middle school expert helped prepare her for this stage as a parent and how it didn't. That's after the break.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome back. Here lies me and the torments of Noah, the lead character, aren't just about what happens at school. It's about what happens at home, too, with her dad, who's a single parent.
Why don't I have a phone?
We've been over this. It's an unnecessary
expense. How come we only buy clothes that are way on sale that everyone else has rejected, or clothes that used to belong to other people? Do you know that someone's dad once told me my shirt used to be his?
It was a total coincidence that this story, that Hillary wrote years before she became a parent, finally published as a fiction podcast at the same time that her daughter entered middle school. I asked Hillary what it was like to finally tell this story about harassment and loss of childhood as her daughter, Sasha, inched closer to the age of the characters.
Whenever there's something that comes up that reminds me of the darkness that I knew in middle school, I kind of go into a panic. And it's like, you know, let's say there's some kind of friend conflict. I immediately go to, oh my God, she's going to lose all her friends. Like, things are falling apart. And, you know, my husband didn't have the best middle school experience, but also wasn't a middle school girl. And so has a different experience. And so reminds me that she is not me. We live in a different place. And we have tools as parents that our parents didn't have. When I remind myself of that, then I become a more effective parent. Mm-hmm. And I get less like projective, and I can have conversations with her and like help her to troubleshoot what's going on.
If you don't mind my asking, what are some of those tools that you feel like you have?
Yeah. Asking a lot of questions. It's like reporter tools, you know? Why do you think this person behaved this way? Why do you think you behaved this way? I will ask questions like, well, what do you think makes a good friend? And do you want to continue this friendship? And just kind of tease it out so that I'm not really giving her prescriptive advice, but more asking questions and helping her find her own answers, because I think those are the tools that she's going to need moving forward when she doesn't want to hear from me anymore.
How, I guess, has working on this show prepared you for being a parent of a middle schooler? Or maybe freaked you out about being a parent of a middle schooler?
So dinner conversation has completely changed since she started middle school. Like, it was, Yasmin, it's like overnight.
Really? Real,
seriously, like she started middle school and came home and the things she was talking about were entirely different. There was like fights breaking out at school. There's like kids watching inappropriate stuff on their phones and sharing it. And, you know, I had never heard the word popular before at home. Like she started talking about kids being popular, and it was kind of shocking how fast it happened, but none of it was surprising. And so I kind of was like, oh, yeah, I got this. I know, I recognize this. I know what this is. And like, based on the reading I've done and the show that I've written and the kids that I've talked to by making this show, I know the social dynamics of like why this is happening, and I can get in there and we can kind of talk about it. I do still feel nervous about what's to come, because I know like it's just going to get ramped up a little bit more every year, maybe every month. But I feel like I know a bit about what's coming, and I'm going to have the tools to help address it.
I'm just curious. You sound confident. You are in the know about what happens in the eighth grade. But how are you feeling about being a parent at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel that confidence, but I also feel so scared about the unknowns because there's so much you can't control. When I was very, very pregnant, I went and saw the movie An Education. She has this relationship with an older man and she gets her heart broken. And I was bawling. I could not stop crying. I actually don't usually cry at movies, and I just couldn't stop crying. I like could barely get the words out. And I said to my husband, like, things are going to happen to her that we're not going to be able to stop.
Yeah.
And like, she's going to go live her life and she's going to get hurt. And I think that definitely, I mean, everyone gets hurt as a child in to varying degrees and in different ways. But once you've kind of become a teenager and separated from your parents more, you're gonna have more things happen to you that like your parents can't protect you from. That terrifies me and makes me feel like helpless if I think about it too much. So I guess that's why I do all of this information gathering.
I'm scared all the time. Well, all the times that I let myself think about what I can't protect my daughters from. I mean, they're only 4 and 7, but still, one day they may be hurt by a friend or an adult. I worry about safety, about the choices they'll make as they get older and socialize independently. Maybe I'm not sure if I'm trying to protect them from pain or myself, but I guess it's both. I think about what Hillary said about how she can become a more effective parent when she doesn't project her fears. And when she can kind of just talk with her daughter, troubleshoot. I asked about the kinds of conversations she was having with Sasha now and how they're going.
You know, I think they're happening sooner than I had expected. But what I've discovered, I guess, since she started middle school, is that my strategy has changed a little bit. I thought that I was going to wait for her to bring certain things up before I was like, okay, here's what porn is. You know, I would wait for her to experience something and then give an explanation. And I've realized that instead what I want to be doing and what I've started doing is kind of trying to gauge when I think she's almost going to have that stuff happen and get ahead of it so that when it happens, she understands what it is and maybe it can be less troubling or traumatic. And I think that in the cases where I have been able to get ahead of it, that's been really helpful.
You also had a tweet, I think, about watching the movie Groundhog Day with your daughter. Yeah. And how you did not expect, I guess, having to talk to her about sexual harassment in the workplace until you watched that movie.
Oh my God, there's so many movies. Like, it's exciting when your kid gets to an age where you're like, I think we can watch PG-13 movies. And first of all, PG-13 was really different when we were kids. I think Groundhog Day might even be PG. I can't remember. But I just remembered that it was a movie about a day that keeps repeating. And, and like, the guy gets more thoughtful by the end. But it is about sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse throughout the movie. And we kept having to like pause the movie and be like, you know that this is not acceptable at work. And she did not like the movie.
Really?
She was like, why did you have me watch this?
But was she made uncomfortable by the sexual harassment part, or did you just think it was a boring movie?
Yeah, she didn't. She was like, that is not okay. And also just like the usual, you know, 11-year-old, like hiding your eyes if there's any kissing. But but she was like, she said no. Why is he continuing to try to get her in bed? Yeah.
And you said at one point that I think you are going to keep talking to her until she doesn't want you to anymore. But I mean, we know this from experience, but just also Here Lies Me is kind of all about the conversations that are happening between young people that they don't talk to their parents about. And so it's like the show is basically covering this gap in communication in a way. Are you conscious of that with your own child?
Well, I think that a lot of parents are squeamish about talking about some of these really intense topics with their kids. And I understand why. It's not comfortable. And we don't want to think that these things are going on in our kids' lives, especially so early. So I think that is a big reason why we have bullying and harassment going unchecked, because parents aren't talking to their kids about it. And so kids are working out all of this like sudden entering of adulthood and death of childhood together. And it's like an enormous thing for any person to go through. And they're like all going through it together without much guidance. And so, of course, things go haywire. But I would really advocate for parents talking to their kids about this stuff early and doing it gently. And it's not one conversation. It's a conversation over, you know, your kid's entire childhood. You know, it's a skill to practice with your kid, and it's not a one-time deal.
Here Lies Me is a production of Lemonada Media and The Longest Shortest Time. Their website, HereLiesMe.com, has resources for both parents and young people on things like harassment, bullying, and sexual health to help you practice those conversations too. Today's show was produced by Palace Shaw. Our managing producer is Kimmy Regler, and our executive producer is Jen Poyon. Scoring and mixing by Chester Guazda of Ultraviolet Audio. Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs wrote our theme music. Connor Donahue is our technical operations manager. Childproof is a production of 10% Happier. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It's a small way for you to help more people find the show. And thanks. If you like our show, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. Episodes of Childproof are available free wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to hear new episodes 1 week early, you can download Amazon Music. Or if you want to hear new episodes early and ad-free, you can subscribe to Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. Please support our show by filling out a survey at wondery.com/survey.